last week we started a teaching on knowing God. Knowing God. And over the next few weeks, we want to just kind of focus on knowing God and the attributes of God and how the Lord will draw us closer to Him. And even any of our pastors who will be speaking and leaders, they're going to be mentioning this theme, knowing God. And last week was the introduction to the series of sermons, right? So we used Daniel and his three friends as our introduction, where we came to the conclusion in Daniel chapter 3, Daniel, his three friends, where they did not bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. We came to the conclusion that they must have known God. Now, I'm not talking about an acquaintance. I'm not talking about when you walk into a room and you're introduced to somebody and you say, oh, yeah, now we know each other. No, but there was a deep profoundness in them that they really knew God. And how did we come up to that conclusion? Well, we said that they did not give up their adoration, right? They were told either bow to the image or you would be thrown into the oven of fire, right? And they did not give up their adoration. They worshiped. And then also, we said that they were bold, and because they were bold, it was a declaration. It depicted how much they knew God and loved God, and also that they were accepted, that they accepted the end results. They accepted the end results. So for us, we just kind of looked at it as these Hebrew boys, they knew God. And then we said we want to talk about how we can come to know God better, where we can be at that place. Come hell or high water, we will not give up our adoration. We will always be bold for the gospel, and we will accept the end result. How can we get there? By knowing God. And we said, well, we can't really come to know God through images, right? Some churches have images, and they think that that draws them closer to God. Well, we can't come to know God through images. Right, we said that we can't come to know God through rules and regulations. People grew up in church and they were told, do this, do that, do this, do that, and you'll be a good Christian. Well, maybe that may help us stick to some rules, but we really can't come to know God through rules or through regulations. And we said we can't come to know God through tradition, right? It's not something that is passed down to us. To know God more than just being acquainted with who He is, we must come to know who He is. Who God is. And the only way that we can come to know who God is to know His attributes. What does the Bible say about God? Who God is. And if we come to embrace those attributes and understand who He is, it gives us this commitment not to give up our worship, to always be bold, and to accept the end results regardless of what they are. So today we want to talk about the attribute of immutable, unchanging, that God is unchanging. And when we come to know and embrace God as a God that does not change, it helps us to understand who He is. And for that reason, we are committed into serving Him and living for Him because we know who He is. I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, or you can turn on your applications. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, 7, and 8. 6, 7, and 8. And I'm going to use these verses as to draw the topic of God being immutable. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, 7, and 8. When you read the first five verses of Hebrews, you're going to see there that the author is giving the hearers, the church, advice on how they should live. He's telling them, love your enemy, serve them, right? And he's giving them advice on how they should live. So when we look at the content of the scripture, it's very important how they should live. Verses 1 through 5. Now, verse 6, he says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. I pray that it would land deep in our hearts. And today, Lord God, it would affirm us as we come closer each day to know you more and more. We pray, Lord God, that it would just not be another Sunday sermon, but it would be a Sunday that would change our Monday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So God is immutable, unchanging, right? So we read these first six verses here, when we look at these first five verses, like I said, it's telling us how to live. And then verse 6 tells us the Lord is your helper. So he's saying, look, verse 1 through 5, God is telling you how you should live. Verse 6 is saying, the Lord is your helper, right? Then verse 7 tells them, oh, remember those who came before you. God was with them and helped them. So he says in verse 7, so imitate their faith. In other words, do as they have done. And verse 8 tells us, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was saying to them, as God was with them, God will always be with his people, and he will be with you. The teaching here that the author of Hebrews is telling the audience here is that God here is unchanging. He is immutable. He's unchanging. And he will help us to live right. If we live by faith, he will lead us and guide us each day. So we keep this in mind. The teaching here is because God is immutable, because he's unchanging, if we live for him, he will help us like he's always helped his people. So like I mentioned, God is immutable. This means that God is unchanging, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sam is going to help us now with some pictures. We change, right? We change, but God doesn't change. Right? So I just want to show you this picture. Don't move it just yet. This picture is our church building on 111th Street when we bought it in 1996. This is how it looked. It had two pine trees in front of it. It had bushes in front of it. It had no parking lot to the left. It just had more trees and some gravel there. And that's how our church looked in 1996 when we bought this church. The next page, this is how our church looked for the last 10 years. It's coming up now. Sam has it there. Okay, should we move on? Okay. Should we move on, Edwin? Okay. Okay. So I was going to show you a picture of what it looked like 10 years ago, and then I was going to show you a picture of how it looked today. Just to depict that things that are within time change. If you look at us, what we looked like before and what we look like now, there's change. Why? Because anything that has to subject itself to time will have to change. But God is outside of time. He doesn't subject himself to time. He doesn't need to subject himself to time. And because of that, he never changes. God is immutable. So I want to encourage you today to come to know God as one that never changes. And there are some attributes of God that he passed on to us in creation, right? We were made in the image of God. We were made in his likeness, is what Scripture says. And where does that come from? Right? We were made in God's righteousness. We were made in God's goodness, right? And that comes to us at creation. And at the fall of man, we lost those things. But Jesus comes and he restores them. And that's why Paul writes in Corinthians and in Colossians, this new life that we are living is what is imitating our Creator, reminding us that there is something in us that has been brought to us by God, right? It is the image in which we were made. But there are some attributes that only belong to God. And that attribute, one of those attributes, is immutable. So we want to take the next few sermons and talk about some attributes, but today we want to talk about immutable. So I want to share with you a few things of the meaning of immutable. What does immutable mean? What does it imply to us? And it reminds us that it is the nature of God. A few things. The first one is, he is and has always been God. Immutable reminds us that God is God and he has always been God. He is currently God, and he will always be God. That does not change. There is no beginning for him, and there is no end. This is what the Bible describes to us as God eternal, that he is an eternal God, that he has always been, and he will always be. Jesus affirms this in Revelation chapter 22, where he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is reminding us that in all seasons, at all times, he existed and he was always God. And Revelation 22 reminds us that he'll be able to judge all people from all times, from all ways. Why? Because he has always been there. So we're reminded of this. We're reminded that the words of Jesus remind us that he will always be there. He has always been there and will always be there for us. He has seen all people from all times. His authority, his power, and his purpose is clear. God has always been God. Genesis 1 verse 1 depicts this well, where it says, in the beginning was God. In those verses alone, we see God's power, we see God's authority, and we see God's purpose. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we see him in the beginning with the power and the authority to create, to bring into existence, and we see purpose in creation. This is God. He is, and he has always been. See, it's hard to trust something or someone who's inconsistent. The worst thing in the world is to follow someone who is inconsistent or something that is constantly changing. But God, he is consistent. He is the same today and always. And it draws us. It draws us to trust God as we come to know him, because he is consistent. He's not like the stock market that is inconsistent, and not like man that we can't trust, or organizations that they're changing. God never changes. He is immutable, and we can place our faith in him because he's been God and he will always be God. And the church says, so we're talking about God being immutable. He's always been and always will be God. We can also say that he has always been powerful and he will always be powerful. God has always been powerful and he will always be powerful. Colossians 1:16 tells us, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. God is powerful, and he has always been powerful. From the beginning of time to the end of time, he has always been God, and he has always been powerful. That means he could never be denied. God could never be denied. That means that whatever he goes to do will be accomplished. That means that creation came to existence simply by his word. Why? Because he is all powerful. There is never a time when God will say, I cannot. There is never a time when God's tank is empty or that he will fail. He is always powerful, and he's powerful enough for our circumstances, for our hardships, for our trials, for our time of need. There's nothing impossible for him. He's powerful for us. He's always powerful for us to meet us in our place, in our need, in our situation. He will help us, heal us, lead us, intervene for us. Why? Because he is all powerful. There is none like him. We can trust him. And the church says, so we know that God has always been God and will always be God. We know that he is all powerful. He's always been and will always be. He is also holy. God is holy. He was, is, and will always be holy. Even Jesus, when he becomes a servant for humanity and he wraps himself up in flesh and becomes man, the Bible says that yet he was without sin. Why? Because he's unchanging. He's always been holy, and he will always be holy. The angels cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Till today, our Heavenly Father is holy. He is unchanging. And that's why we cannot have a relationship with him if it's not for Jesus Christ. You see, our relationship with Christ gives us access to the Father. In our time of need, in our time of need of a Savior, we find ourselves with Jesus. He forgives us of our sins. He redeems us. And the Bible says that we are sanctified by faith in Christ. And now Jesus begins to live in us. The holy presence of God that is unchanging. We cannot change who he is. He changes who we are. And because he begins to abide in us, he now sanctifies us. He now brings us to a state of justification, which means a state without sin. And this allows us to have a relationship with the Holy Father. Now we can enter into the room where the Father is. And when he looks at us, He doesn't see our sinful nature, but he sees our sanctified life through his only Son, Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is for us. He is holy, has always been holy, and now he sanctifies us as well. If nothing else should encourage you to seek God, that encourages us to seek God, to know that he sanctifies us and draws us closer to him. God has always been holy. He is holy, and he will always be holy. And the church says, God has always been God. He's always been powerful. He's always been holy. And God has always been wise and completely all-knowing. His wisdom is undiminished. His knowledge has only one level. He knows all things. He knows everything about past, present, and future. He is the greatest historian. He knows the present time, and he is the greatest prophet. He knows all things of the future. He knows the best route to apply knowledge, because he is all wise. We can never learn more. He can never learn more, and he can never be without understanding. God does not need to gather more information to deal with an unforeseen circumstance. He does not have to try to figure things out. He does not have to ponder to think which is the best route. No, he knows all things. And he's always known all things, in the past, in the present, in the future. That's why we can trust him. That's why we can place our lives in his hands, because he knows what's best for us. He will always lead us to the greatest good for our lives, because he is wise and because he is all-knowing. So I want to encourage you, as you continue to know God and continue to grow in this relationship with God, as we submit our lives to him, to remember always that he knows the greatest good for us. That's why we live by faith and not by sight, trusting him for today and trusting him for tomorrow. And if he was with us in the past, he will be with us in the present, and he will be with us in the future. Why? Because he's immutable. He is unchanging. And he deals with us fairly every single time. And the church says, God is unchanging. We know that. We know that he's always been God. He's always been powerful. He's always been holy, right? He's always been holy. He's always been wise. And God has always loved humanity. His love for humanity is unchanging. He says this through the prophet Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I love that. My love for you has always been. Paul writes to Timothy and tells him he has saved us to a holy life. What a beautiful thing. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Why? Because he loved us. John writes and says, we love because Christ first loved us. His love for humanity is unchanging. God's love for creation is unchanging. God has been reaching out to humanity from the beginning, and he continues to love us. Jesus reestablishes this relationship with us. When we were lost, he found us. Why? Because he loved us. The mere fact that we're here today reminds us of how much he loved us. Jesus, the Father says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The words of Jesus for humanity. His love for us is unchanging. Even in our darkest moments, he loved us there. God was still there for us when we failed him. God was still there for us when we rejected him. God was still there for us when we intentionally sinned. Even perhaps there's some here at one time that were self-declared atheists and said God does not exist. Even at that moment, God loved us. God's love for humanity is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we look at immutable and we come to know God as unchanging, I remind you that God's word is unchanging. It's always relevant, and it's always timely. God's word was good for the Old Testament patriarchs. It is good for the New Testament church, and it's good for us as well. Why? Because God's word is unchanging. Those who know his name will trust his word. Let us trust the word of God for today, for our circumstance today, for our need today. Let us come to understand that God is unchanging. And what is it that God wants to speak to our lives today? It is a present word. It is a timely word. And it's a word that draws us close to him. That's why at times you'll find scripture that spoke to you 10 years ago. And you read it again today and it speaks to you again. Why? Because it is alive and active. It's like a double-edged sword. And it reaches the deepest parts of our lives. And it does it in present tense. It does it at the moment. Why? Because God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the church says. So we're talking about God being immutable, unchanging. That God, he is powerful. That he is God. And that's always been. That he is powerful. That's always been. That he is holy. That's always been. None of those things have changed. Will they change? Will they ever change? That God loves humanity. That's always been. That he is wise and completely knowledgeable. That's God. And he's unchanging. But let it not just be a theory for us. Let it not just be a theological truth. Let it not just be an understanding for us. But if we really have come to believe this and embrace this, it should change the way that we live our lives. It should alter the way that we live our life and our decision making. So today I want to close out the teaching with three applicational points. If we understand that God is immutable and he's unchanging, then let us apply these three points to our lives. The first one is, because God is unchanging, we have assurance in him. Because he's unchanging, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, there is assurance in God. He will never fail us or forsake us. He is perfect. Nothing in him can get better. He cannot get more wiser. He cannot get more powerful. He cannot get more loving. He is perfect. He cannot change his mind. He's not man to lie, nor son of man to repent. We have assurance in him. In our uncertain times, God's peace reigns in our lives because God is unchanging. His promises and his purpose are certain. They cannot and will not fail. The Bible is clear here, and it says God's kingdom cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God, which cannot be shaken, it will not fail. We have assurance in God. Why? Because he's unchanging. Our hope and our confidence is not in things that are uncertain. It's not in man or organizations. It's not in numbers of this world. No, our confidence and our hope and our faith comes from our relationship with God. And because of that, we live with this assurance, with this security, because God has always been God and he will always be God. And we place our faith in him. Because he is unchanging, we have this assurance. We have this security. We have this faith that tells us that we can. And in a time of trial, in a time of testing, we will be like the Hebrew boys. I will not give up my worship. I will not give up my adoration. I know who God is. In our time of testing, in our time of trial, we will be bold for the gospel. Why? Because we know who our God is. And come hell or high water, we will trust the results. Why? Because God is immutable. He's unchanging. And we know who he is. So we place our faith in him. And the church says, because God is unchanging, we have assurance in him. We trust him. Number two, because God is immutable, because God is unchanging, he leaves an example for us. God leaves an example for us. Because he's unchanging, he challenges us to also be unchanging. Now, I know that many of us, we hear in even sermons from here that we've talked about, where we've said things like, you know, we're going from glory to glory, from one level to another level, that God is doing a work in us and bringing change. Now, that is correct. But when we have understood the will of God and the way of God and to bear the fruit of the Spirit, right, we understand that God calls us for that and we should be unchanging. That should be the life that we live. That should be the commitment that we have. And nothing and no one should change us because we've seen the standard. We've seen the model that God has left us and He is unchanging. And He also demands of us to be unchanging. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Look at the words of Jesus. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. There is a standard in which God has left for you and for me. And it's a standard to live a life that pleases Him, and we should be unchanging to that life. Regardless of what may come, our adoration will not change. Our boldness for Him will not change. And we will trust Him for the end results. We will not allow the world to change us. No, we understand even the scripture, the Apostle Paul, he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't let the world change the standard in which God has placed you in and expects of you. Don't let the world change us because we are not of those who shrink back, as the author of Hebrews says. No. We are those who believe and we are those who live on. Why? We have come to know who Jesus is. He is the same yesterday, He is the same today, and He is the same forever. And the church says, we are people that honor God and honor His word, and God has shown us what it is to be unchanging. There are things that we must change in our lives. We know that. We know that we're going from one level of glory to another level of glory. We know that we have been dressed in the spirit, in the things of God. We know that. But once we have come to the place that God has called us, we need to be committed and unchanging to that life. And that is the standard that we have seen in God. And it's the standard that He has passed down to us. Today we see so many that are one way here, one way there. Well, that's not what God has called you and me for. God has called us to live a life that pleases Him, that honors Him, and that honors His name. It honors who He is, and He is unchanging. And He expects us as well to be committed to the way of life that He has called us. And the church says, as we talk about the attributes of God, what that means, some points of application. Our assurance is in God. We can live with this assurance in God. We are reminded that God has left a life of expectation for us, an example. And number three, because God is unchanging, we must live right. We must live right. God being immutable also warns us with regard to a word of judgment towards sin. A word of judgment towards sin. Because God is unchanging, we must live right. God being immutable also is a warning to us that God will fulfill His word regarding judgment for sin. God being immutable is not only a comforting assurance concerning the blessings which God has promised, but also a warning that God will fulfill His word regarding judgment for sin. Make no mistake of it, there is a hell. There is a place for those who did not choose Christ. Many argue what hell is and what hell will be. Some say hell is a place of torment. Others say it's a place of separation from God. Others say that it's the ground, it's the burial. Regardless of what your theological position may be in regards to hell, I know none of us want to be there. And the Bible teaches us that not everyone will make it to heaven. Paul writes these words in 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak I became weak that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Indicating not everyone will make it to heaven. Jesus said these words, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said this, there were two men in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Not everyone will make it to heaven. And God is bound by His word, and He is unchanging. And because of that, There is wrath for sin and judgment for sin. There's a price that needs to be paid for sin. Jesus offered the way to pay the price. And he did it for us on the cross, but we must acknowledge him as our Lord and our Savior. And the Bible speaks in Revelation at the end time that there will be a time where there will be the second resurrection, where those who died without Christ will have to resurrect, and they will have to give account for the life that they have lived. And there will be a book that will be open. And the Bible says that their names were not found in the book of life. And they will have to give account. And someone will have to defend them. The wage of sin is death. Someone will have to defend them, and they'll have no advocate. They'll have no savior. They'll have no one to say, I paid the price for their sin. Some of them may say, but I did good. I was a good person. I went to church. I helped the elderly. I gave to the poor. That's good, but it's not enough to wipe away your sins. Only a redeemer, only someone that can buy you, only someone that can save you, someone that can redeem you from your life of condemnation can pay the price by the shedding of blood, by the giving of life. And that is done through Jesus Christ. And because God is bound to his word, a judgment time will come for all people. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we are reminded of God being immutable, unchanging, it reminds us that we have to live a life that pleases him, a life that recognizes him as our Lord and our Savior. It doesn't mean a perfect life. No one can live a perfect life, but it means a life that says, Lord, I'll try my best to live a life that is pleasing unto you. And for those who choose to deny, to neglect, to abandon, to reject the grace of God for their lives, they one day will have to stand for themselves without an advocate, without a savior. And there's not enough in the nature of man to save us from the condemnation of eternity. Only Jesus can do that for us. So as I close our teaching today, I remind you that we must come to know God. Why is it that we have given up our adoration at times? It's because we really haven't come to know God. We know him maybe through images, or maybe through rules, or maybe through tradition. We've been introduced to him, but it hasn't given us consistency in our adoration. Why is it that we lack boldness for God? That we don't stand up for the gospel, or we don't say, here I am, send me, or we're not committed to the things that he's called us to be committed to. Why? Because we've been introduced, but we haven't come to know him. Why is it that we're always trying to control the end result and not trust God for it? Because we haven't come to know him as unchanging. So today I want to encourage you. In this journey of life, come to know God as one who has always been God. From the beginning of time to the end of time. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Come to know him as God. Come to know him as all powerful. His tank will never be empty. There's always enough in him for our need. Come to know him as all knowledgeable and all wise. He knows exactly how to lead us for the greatest good in our lives. And even when we don't get the things that we think we should get, it's God's grace helping us even in those moments. Help him to come to know him as loving. He's always been loving. He loved you even when you said, I don't believe in God. He loved you there. Come to know his word that is always timely. For when you do, it changes the way that you live. Now you have assurance in God. And now you have a standard by which you live by. And it gives you the commitment to always honor him, knowing that our eternal life is always in his hands. So as we close our teaching this morning, I just want to encourage you in this journey. come to know God as immutable, unchanging. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. I pray that it would inspire us, Lord, to be reminded that you are unchanging, immutable. I pray that you would help us, oh Lord. I pray, oh Lord God, that we would trust you for it, to know that you have always been with us, that you are currently with us, and that you will always be with us. That as we draw closer to you, Lord, that you, Lord God, will lead us in every aspect of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, maybe you're here today and you feel like, I'm on this journey of coming to know God more. I want to know him more. I've come to know him through tradition and through rules, but I want to come to know who he is. And you want prayer to help you apply that to your life. We have our pastors here, Victor and Bruni, Hector, Ruth, Jorge, and Arlene right here to my left. After the service, you could approach them and say, hey, can you pray for me? And we want to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you feel like, I'm far from God. I'm far from God. And I want to get to know him better. I want to do better. Can you pray for me? And our pastors will come together and they will pray for you and they will encourage you. And we believe a prayer of faith will make you well. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.